Today's daf in Masechet Kiddushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Beit. And yesterday, we were in the middle of our discussion of how far does Bavel extend. So it was a given that it is a Mesopotamia. But now the question is, b'nogea the specific halachas, which tell us that there are dinim in Bavel that are unique when it comes to the Yuchasim. And that's because, as the Mishnah told us, that Ezra was Ela to Eretz Yisrael, and he made, the way Rabbi Elazar put it, is that he made Bavel the absolutely pure flour by taking out all of the psulim from Bavel. And therefore, even though we were talking about many centuries later, the Gemara considers the Yichus of Bavel to be superior to the Yichus of Eretz Yisrael, and to any other aratzot. So the question is, where do we call Bavel b'nogea that particular halacha, as opposed to simply a geographic location that we refer to with the term Bavel? And then, of course, we have the other issue in which Bavel is unique, and that was nogea the dinim of Gittin, where over there it has to do with completely other criteria, has nothing really to do with this issue. And the question is whether, as we had in Gittin, Eidim or Mitzvim or Kaimai, or whether they're Beki and Lishma. The Gemara will discuss later on how these two sukkahs interrelate, if they do interrelate. But in any event, yesterday we were talking about how far Bavel goes beyond the Nahar Chidekel, which is towards the Mizrach. Now we want to know, how far does Bavel go towards Eretz Yisrael, towards the west. I mean, Eretz Yisrael, in terms of the way the Gemara views it, is towards the south. So Amalei Abaye L'Rav Yosef, L'Hagisa D'Prat Adhecha. So how about towards the side of Eretz Yisrael of the Prat, meaning towards the west? How far does Bavel extend? Amalei, well, what's really your question? I mean, the only city of any consequence that we would have to discuss there would be Biram, right? And that's, we know the answer to that. Because, I mean, I can't perhaps tell you a precise definition of the Gvulos, but I know for a fact that that the people in Pumbedisa, which were considered to be totally, without any Shaila Lagabi Yichus, they will not hesitate to take a wife from Biram. So apparently they considered Biram to be part of the Kabbalah of the Yichusim from the time of Ezra. So now, the question is, these different gvulos that we gave, are they also the same gvulos that have to do with the inyan of Beki and Lishma, or whether Edom or Mitzuyim Lekaimai, which was benogea the halachas of Gittin? Do you have to say b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam when you bring a get in these places? Omer of Papa, ki machloket liyuchasin, kach machloket liinyan Gittin. These boundaries that we discussed yesterday and this morning are nogea exactly the same way to Gittin, because the central places where people settled and where they were makbid on all of the dinim of being careful about Mamzeres and Isurei Erva and so on, is actually the same areas in which Edom or Metzim Lekaima, and where Talmidim were constantly going back and forth, and in which there was a lot of Teira, in which they were Bekiyin Lishma, according to that Mandioma. Whereas Rav Yosef says, no, it's not true. The Machlokas is Leyuchasin, yes, but it's not the same when it comes to Gittin. Everybody agrees that when it comes to Gittin, that actually Divrei Hakol Ad Arba Tinyona de Gishra. So this doesn't say which Gishra, but apparently it's the Gishra the Pras we were talking about yesterday. And there were two areas that were what are they called? Wetland areas. So there were two wetland areas that were in Bavel, and there was the lower wetlands and the upper wetlands, is how they refer to it. So the Arba Tinyana means the second ones. So apparently these were areas where they had these large wetlands. And that area that it was past the Gesher, which we said yesterday, that was the furthest you would go was the Gesher, Aliba Dishmo. So if you go, again, according to Rashi, we're going downstream, because he learns that you're heading north Again, as Tosis explained, no, we're talking about upstream. But anyway, in any event, when it comes to the dinim of the Gittin, everybody agrees that it goes further. Omer Rami Bar Chama, you should just know there are different areas in Bavel. Now, I'm not even going to go into any kind of details or map issues. If you want to, you can look at the maps where there's guesses about where most of these places are that Rabbanea sent out. I don't think it's very important to us. We have no connection to these areas anymore for many reasons. So Omer Rami Bar Chama, the place, the town that was called Chavil Yoma, the area that was called Chavil Yoma, which means the Chevel of the Yam, so it's near the Yam, that is the Techilta de Bavel, that's like the most beautiful, the best meaning in terms of the Halacha, that's like the Techeles on the Tzitzis. And the Shunya of Aguvia, that is the Techeles, the absolute best of Chevel Yama. Ravina says, you have to include also, once we're talking about Techeles, Tzitzura. So it's also considered to be like the Techeles. And there's a Braita that says exactly that, apparently, which is like Ravina, to include Tzitzura. Tanya Rami Yochi, Hanan ben Pinchas Omer, Chavel Yoma is Techeles de Bavel, Shunya Vaguvia vit Tzitzura are the Techeles de Chavel Yoma, exactly as Ravina said. Omer of Papa, that was all once upon a time. But nowadays, you cannot rely on that. Why? Because even in these times, there were members of the Kutim, and the Kutim, remember, we were Gezer Aleim, that they're supposed to be like Goyim, Lechol Dovar, and big questions about whether they are really Jewish Bechlal, even from the beginning, whether they became later, maybe. They were terrified of the Arayot, but in any event, it's not true, says the Gemara. This is what Rav Papa said. This is actually, it's true only if you read the New York Times. But, I mean, if you're interested in the news that's fit to print, this is certainly not so. It's based on one of these typical New York Times bases, you know. What happened was that once an Itata Hudaboy, there was once like a rich Kuti, who tried to get a wife from that area, and he wrote various people that they should arrange it, but they didn't. But because of that, they started spreading this news. You know, well, it must be they gave in and they sent it, but it wasn't true. They never did. Even at the time of the Gemara, people did not know where these places were, and it asks, "My Chavil Yoma, what are you referring to, Bichlav?" Omer of Papa, that's the area of the Nahar Prat that is called the Prat de Bursi. It's near the town of Bursi. Oh, Ugava de Omalahu. There was once a guy who said to the Rabbanim when they were questioning what his yichus was, that he comes from Shot Mishot. So Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha stands up and says, Shot Mishot? Shot Mishot is considered to be Bein Hanaharot. Now, obviously, as Tosis points out, it cannot possibly mean Bein HaNeharot in terms of between the Chidekel and the Prat, because, I mean, that's Mesopotamia. So it's got to be referring to some kind of area that was called Bein HaNeharot. But the question is, what's the significance of that area? Therefore, ask the Gemara, so what? Bein HaNeharot omed et Mayavi, who cares? Well, I don't know what the din is of whatever this place is that they're called Bein HaNeharot. We know that Bein HaNeharot is considered to be the equivalent of Pumbedisa, which we call, you know, Kola Gola Kula, which is the equivalent of Pumbedisa, means that it's no problem at all. People marry freely there and the Yichusim are good. Well, where exactly is that? Behecha Kaima. I don't know what you mean by Bein HaNeharot. Which Naharot are we talking about? Well, Rabbi Yochanan, this is from Ihi Dekira and up, along the Pras. But wait a minute, Rabbi Yochanan said, it was Rabbi Yochanan who said that you go only, remember we were talking yesterday, how far it is that you can go up the Prat, he said it's only until the Ma'abarta de Gizma, where the ferry boat was over in the town of Gizma, where they used to cross on the Prat. And here, to go up to Dekira, which is much further, how can he now say that that's kosher if he said that you can only assume Yichusim up until the ferry crossing? Amar Abaye, it's true But the reason that he said over here that you can go all the way up to Shot Mishot is because there's a little piece of Ritzua Nafka. Remember, we've had this inyan of Ritzua Nafka in terms of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael or Tumas Eretz Amim. Ritzua Nafka means that there are times where you can have an extension of a little strip of land where that land was settled properly by the Miuchasim, and they didn't allow, and that goes all the way up to Shot Mishot, and it goes around all of those places that were considered to be puzzled by Yidikira. So it's not a kasha. There could be that according to Rabbi Yochanan, there was a little place that extended upwards, and that included this location which was called Ben HaNeharot. Om Rav Yikub HaRavin, Om Rav Chananel, Om Rav. Look, there's other places, and Rav claimed that the town called Chalzon and the town called New Haven are the same as the Gola for Yuchasim, and that means that it would be kosher in those places. And Abaye said to people there, don't pay any attention to Rav Yika. You can't trust a word he says. I happen to know that Yevamahi Denafalei Asam, they are very nice. His brother died in that area, leaving him a Yavama. He wants to be Mekayim Yibum, you know. And so in order to be Mekayim Yibum, he's claiming that this woman is not, definitely not a Mamzeres, and she's Kshera, and so on and so forth. But you can't believe him. You can only believe people, as we said before, where the halacha that they're quoting is not Nogea them personally. Said to Ravika, what are you talking about, man? Atu didihi. This is not something that I'm being Mechadish. I'm simply quoting over what Rav Chananel said. You can go check it out yourself. So he did. So they sent people to ask Rav Chananel. Zozo Shailul Rav Chananel, is that what you said? What's the din of New Haven? Amalu Achi Amarav, Chalzon in New Haven, Arehu Kigolala Yuchasin, they have, in fact, exactly what he had said, that they're kosher. Okay, now, the question is whether just because Rav said it, does that mean that that was the halacha? Because Pliga the Rabbi Bar Kahana, when Rav said this about New Haven, he was not necessarily going out libra kol adeus, because Rabbi Bar Kahana said, "Ma'idichtiv." So this takes a little bit of time to get clear what the raya is from here that New Haven would not be kosher according to Rabbi Bar Kahana. We'll first let's just pay attention clearly to what it was that he was analyzing in the pasuk. So we know that the Melech Ashur was Vayamchem, Bachlach, Uvechavor, Nahargoza, Norimodai. So after the terrible disaster of the Aseres HaShvatim, and they were all Nigla, so Sorcher settled them in these areas. And it mentions specific areas, Chalach, and Chavor, and Nahargoza, and Norimodai. Now the question is, where exactly are these places? Now, on the surface, that has nothing to do with our question. I mean, what do we care where these places are? But we're going to see why this does have to do with the assumed Yichusim of New Haven. So Rav Abba, when he was Derish this Pasuk, so he gave a tour guide or a definition of where each one of these places are. And he said that Chalach refers to Chalzon, which is what we were talking about before with New Haven. And Chavor is a reference to Chadayev. Chadayev, that's where Hilini Hamalka comes from, according to Moshe. And Monbaz, you know the whole story that they became Gerim. So that's Chadayev. Now Hargozan is a reference to Ginzak. Ore Madai is a reference to Hamadan. And the various towns that are near Hamadan, all of which undoubtedly only exist because they're part of Barnea's neighborhood, even though he had problems in getting to Iraq and Iran. But are you going to tell us where,
the tomb of Mordechai and Esther is in Hamadan, if I'm not mistaken.
So are you going to talk to us about the drinks that are sold in the little kiosk near there? Or anyway,
I'll be happy to post the map.
Okay, so what are we referring to when we say the other suburbs, Chavrotel? What is that referring to? Well, Mashmuel, that's referring to Kirach, Mushki, Chuski, and Rumki. And now so far, we haven't gotten to the question of whether Rav is there Machlokas over here with Rababa and Rav. We haven't gotten to that yet. Now, before we get to that, we need to know that Rabbi Yochanan had said that all of the places that the Pasuk lists about Chalach and the Ore Amodai, all of them are Nogea Psul of Yichus, Chulan Lipsul, because wherever the Aseres HaShvatim were, they went and were moved population, those were, that was Sancheir's big tactic, was to move populations, therefore to avoid problems later but with rebellions and so on. So all of those places actually are not kosher for Yichus. Why? Because the Aseres HaShvatim, they went ahead and they married in a intermarried. There was a lot of assimilation there. And according to the Shita, that a goy or an eved that is Baal Bas Yisrael is a mamzer, so for sure they're mamish mamzerim, but everybody is certainly mitzvah that there's a pagam, and therefore these are not cities that you should marry into. Kulan lapsul. So then if that's the case, take into consideration Rabbi Yochanan's statement over here, so then that means that according to Rababa, who says that New Haven and Chalzon are part of these cities, and they were settled by the Aseres HaShvatim, so then that means that they're pasul for Yichus. So obviously, he does not agree with Rav. Rav says that you can rely on their being kosher. Okay? Now, there's also another question. That is, that if Mushri is here, that was Shmuel said Mushri, that's when he was saying that these weird names that were all part of these suburbs, so he said that that includes Mushri. So apparently he thinks that Mushri today should be considered to be Psulei Yichus, but that's a stira. Because assuming as we did, Mushri and Mushrini is the same place, how do you explain the contradiction in Shmuel? Because Amr Pchia Baravin Amr Shmuel, Mushkani is actually very reliable. And it's Kigolala Yuchasim, it's the same as Pumpadisa. And here he's saying that it was one of the towns that was settled by the Aseres HaShvatim, which according to Rabbi Yochanan means that there's it's Shafik Mamzeres or Pagan. Okay, Mushkani Lachud or Mushkani Lachud. I mean, just because it sounds the same to you doesn't mean it's the same place. Now, we know that in Daniel, there's this monster. Remember, every one of the Malchios is another monster in the visions that Daniel was shown. So now there was the monster that represented the Persians. Poras, that monster was like a dove, it says. It looked like this giant bear. And it had Tlat Il'in Bepuma Ben Shineh. So it was apparently munching on a piece of meat, and it had a good rib steak in its mouth, and it had these three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. Now, in its mouth between its teeth is obviously not the same thing. I mean, if it's in between its teeth, you don't say it's in its mouth. I mean, obviously it's in its mouth. So it must be that there is a reference over here to three areas, these three ribs that were sometimes in its mouth and sometimes mamish between its teeth, and it was chewing on them. So in other words, there are these places where the Persians sometimes just were very influential and sometimes where they were actually eating it up, meaning it was they incorporated it into Persia itself. What are those three places? So Rabbi Yochanan says it's a reference to Chalzon, Chadayab, and Netzivim. Now, Netzivim definitely is Barnea's neighborhood. That I remember, right? There we go. So the question is, did Barnea visit the kever of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra when he was in Netzivim? That's the question.
No, but Sammy the Tailor is from there.
I know Sammy the Tailor.
I remember.
Yes. I don't like quoting Sammy the Tailor. He's a vicious anti-Semite. You know, he speaks nice and he smiles at you. And then when you hear him talking to other people, you know, the tourists that come in, he gives them the whole Palestinian lines. Don't talk to me about Sammy the Tailor. But anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
It's on the road from Haran to Ur, and the train runs by there. I don't know where we wanted to go, but they still speak Aramaic there.
All right. Anyway, so that's what it's a reference to, which in terms of the vision of Daniel, what it means is pa'amim bolatan. Sometimes the Persians actually swallow this into their government, in which case it's between their teeth. Sometimes it spits them out. I mean, it doesn't always maintain control, and that's why we say it's in their mouth, but it's not between the teeth. Okay, so this was the vision. Once we're already talking about the bear, and the bear is a reference to, I'm assuming that Dov is a bear. So, Arul Cheva Achoret Inyon Adam El Dov. So this is how the whole story of the second monster in the vision, how it's introduced. So Daniel says, I see now a second monster, and it looks like a bear. So what is that referring to? Tani Rav Yosef, that could only be a reference to the Iranians, because they look Parsim. They eat and drink like bears. They're really slobs. They are fat like bears, Mesurvalim Kedov. They're hairy as bears, Megadlim Sear Kedov, and they never settle down. They're always making trouble. Ein Le Menucha Kedov. You can tie a bear up, or you can put a bear in its cage, and it's always walking around back and forth, back and forth. It's always plotting something, and it's never able to stand still. As a matter of fact, when Rav Ami, whenever you would see a Persian that was riding by on something, he would say, oh my gosh, there goes the bear along the road. Hainu Duba Naida. What would be Naida, you know, a portable bear. There you go. There's a portable bear. Get out of the way. I'm going to say Rebbe LeLevi. So Levi always had these really cute mishalim to allow people to draw a picture in their minds of things that they didn't know about. So Rebbe said to Levi, give me an image of what is a Persian like? Omalei domim l'chayalot shel Beit David. These are very, very powerful people. And we had before, remember, that there were Tisha Kavim, not to Poras of the Gvura. Any Chabarin, you remember Chabarin, we had the whole Machlokas, Rashi and Tosis many times. From the time that the Chabarin came to Bavel, they were fire worshippers or Zoroastrians. They didn't allow you to have fire in your house. They would come and take away the Nairs of Shabbos. Oh, it's kind of Tzoros. So what are they like? They are like Malachi Chabalah, says Levi. Give me a picture of an Arab. They are like the Sirim and the Beit HaKisa. You know what they look like these Shadim. Hareini Tamidei Chachamim Shebabavel. How would you define that? They're like Malachi Ashores. They have these beautiful white begotten. You know, they can look like Rav Avadia Yosef. I mean, it's like, these are Malachi Ashores. Anyway. So when Rebbe was on his deathbed, Kevenechad Nafshi to Rebbe, he said over various semi-nevuyas that he had a sense in Ruach HaKodesh, or things that he was megala about Yuchasim that he didn't want to say in his lifetime. So he said, look, there's a certain place called Homania in Bavel. So I want you to know, the people there are Amonim. They're not really from Klal Yisrael. There's another city called Masgaria in Bavel. That whole town is full of Mamzerim. There's another place called Birka. Now, in Birka, I know that there's two brothers, and they trade wives all the time. They're machlifim neshotem zelazeh, which means that it's full of mamzerim. There's another place in Bava, which is called Birta de Satya. Now, Birta de Satya means the town of perverts, or the town where they were seitem ifnei hamokar. So, and I want you to know that Hayom, today, they have finally, totally given it up. Here's the Maisa. What happened once is that on a Shabbos, Afke Pira Bekavri B'Shabbata, there were these, all of a sudden they had their little pond where they used to go fishing, and there was like a mass invasion of fish, and oh my gosh, they couldn't resist. So they went fishing on Shabbos. Everybody trapped the fishing. So as it was Sodu B'Shabbata, and Rabbi Yoshia, he put them into Cherem for doing that. And now, apparently, so they became, apparently these are two separate steps. And today, when I say today, which obviously wasn't Shabbos, because Rebbe wasn't Niftar on Shabbos, Ishtamut, today they decided to become Goyim completely. They went to the church and they got baptized. So just you should know, they're totally Goyim now. There's another place, it's called Akra da Agma. And there's a person there called Adabar Ava. And that Adabar Ava, Ayom Yoshev Becheko Shel Avraham. So today, he's having a bris milah, and he was born there, and he's going to be an Adam Gadol. And Hayom, also today, in Bavel, is a child that is going to become a big Godel B'Torah. That's Rav Yehuda. It's referring to Rav Yehuda by Yecheskel, our Rav Yehuda. The Yomar Mar. Because we have a Kabbalah that Kishimet Rabbi Akiva, on the day that Rabbi Akiva died, Rabbeinu HaKadosh was born. On the day that Rebbe died, Rav Yehuda was born. On the day that Rav Yehuda died, Rava was born. On the day that Rava was born, died, Rav Ashi was born. And what is this coming to tell me? The Lamedcha. She'ein tzadik niftar min ha'olam, ad shenivra tzadik kamoto. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always brings the incipient tzadik that is going to be taking the place of the one that was niftar first, before that person dies. She'nemar v'zarach ha'shemesh u'ba ha'shemesh. What does it mean, v'zarach ha'shemesh u'ba ha'shemesh? I mean, that's not true. Not in terms of our calendar. We have actually, the day starts in the nighttime. So the v'zarach ha'shemesh means that you have a new sun that is born, and that is starting a dawn, and then only after that, Ba'a Shemesh, then the sun sets on the previous generation's leaders. So therefore, before Eli died, already Zarcha Shimshor Shel Shmuel Aramati, we find the old story of Shmuel, and he got his first Nevius and so on. That was right before. And there's such a beautiful pasuk that brings this out. Shenemar v'ner Elohim terem yichbev v'shmuel shochev. How does the whole story begin with the nevius of Shmuel the first time? That it says that the ner Elohim, yeah, obviously, the pashas of the pasuk, we're talking about the menorah and the mishkan. But here we understand it to mean that the life of Eli, which is like a candle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, had not yet gone out. And then Shmuel was lying, and then he hears this voice that is saying Shmuel, and so on. And that's when he got his Nevi'ah. So you see that this is to tell me. But Dafka, why does it say Ner Elohim Terem Yichbev? Because it's to tell me. Right before the last moments of the candle of Eli, we need to know that already Shmuel got his first Nevi'ah. Okay, so now you said that this place called Chumanya was part of the Nevi'ah of Rebbe, that he said, this place has ammonim in it. And this is actually, Merum is in the Pasuk, Tziva Hashem Yaakov, as it says in Eicha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, that Svivav Tzaraf, wherever Yaakov goes, around him are his worst enemies. So what does that mean? Says Rav Yehuda, this means like Homanya, that is Lefum Nahara. So here we have Fum Nahara, where the Jews are settled. And this town of Omania is there in order to cause anti-Semites that live there and attack the Jews. That's the same Ammonim and Moavim that talked Nebuchadnezzar into destroying the Beis HaMikdash, because remember how angry they were, you know, get rid of the Sefer Torah, where it says, Lo Yavo Ammonim and Moavim. So, okay, that followed us even into the Golos. So wherever you have, it's fascinating, there's so many yeshivas that are right across the street of a church. It's like an amazing kind of thing. I must say, I face a church here, my God. Like this insane monastery right across the street. Okay.
We went to Gateshead for a Shabbos. Mm-hmm. We stayed in a hotel in Newcastle on time. And we had to have guards on a Stam Shabbos walk us Friday night, because the shikir is the guy, and it was dangerous for Jews to walk. So somebody said, this is like a European ghetto. He said, no, it is a European ghetto. I promise you, this little area of Kedusha, and then right outside is the...
Yeah. Okay, so now that we're talking about, and right now this seems like a complete non sequitur, but we're going to see it's Nogea the Inyanim of Yichusi. So here's Yecheskel, and he has this Nevi'ah in which he sees that Platya ben Benayo has died, and he is saying over Nevi'ah, Vayiki Navi, that Platya ben Benayo died, and I was so distressed by this Nevi'ah, the Apollo Panaivas Ako Godovo Maraho Hashem Elohim. So why was he so broken about this vision that he had of the death of Platya ben Benayo? So it's actually Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Chad Amar L'Tova, V'Chad Amar L'Ra. So according to one man, the Amar, it's because Platya was such a tzaddik, that's Yod L'Tova. And the other man, the Amar, is he's such a Rasha that Yechezkel was brokenhearted that he should die instead of being tortured to death and being killed cell by cell. That's the point. So man, the Amar L'Tova, so where do we see that Platya is considered to be a tzaddik? Ki ha, the Istandra, the Mesha, was the Chatane de Nebuchadnezzar. So we had that the appointed governor in Meshan. Now that Meshan, remember, relates to the whole question of Meshan and its Yichasina we were talking about. It's dead over there in Meshan. Okay. So the guy that was in charge, the guy that was in charge of Meshan around the time of the Churban was Nebuchadnezzar's own son-in-law. So he sends this message to Nebuchadnezzar, and he says, you know, Dad, it's really not nice. Bikula hai shivaya daitita lach. You know, you took all of these, you know, wonderful captives from the Jews. You know, they're all, it's a high-tech country, intelligent people. You didn't send me any of them. Lo shadarta l'ndekayla, come on. I mean, you get all of the nice people over there, Daniel, Hanania, Mishael, Vatsari. I mean, we deserve a little bit of those people. So, okay, so Nebuchadnezzar decided, boy, let's do it like me. So he's going to send them some of the people that he had captured. So Platya ben Benayahu, who was there, said to Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to send that rotten son-in-law of yours, such high-class people, you don't deserve high-class people. You should send him the avadim that you captured from us. That's more, the really high-class people should be with a high-class king. Not with a second-rate son-in-law. So, of course, this appealed very much to Nebuchadnezzar's vanity. Yes, he's absolutely right. So because of Platya ben Benayahu, they ended up sending only Avadim to Meshan. So Amalei, let's see inside, Platya ben Benayahu said, Anan dechashvina neku mikamachacha. We should, the Choshva people should be here and send the Avadim. They should, that's more roi for Meshan. So, okay, so in other words, according to this, it was Platya that was Matzil Bnei Yisrael from having to go and be Avodim to this son-in-law. And therefore, what Yechezkel meant is, this guy did such a teva to Klal Yisrael, he should die young, Yamut b'chatzi yamav, and that's why he said, oy vey, at least those that are doing well should at least be rewarded. Masha'in Cain, Mandi Amar L'Ra'a said that Platya was an absolute bum. So this was something that this terrible devias that Yechezkel had, in which he saw, and now these are really two different devias, but the Gemara is putting them together, because if you hold that they go together, so then Ein Achinami, it shows that Platya was a Rosha. But, I mean, it's not behechrich that it is meant to be together. It's just because in both places you had a group of about 25 people near the Beis HaMikdash. In different places, we're assuming that it's that same group, but it's not behechrich. So anyway, so the Mandi Omer was L'Ra'a. We didn't know Rav Shmuel, which one said what. But since it says, V'taveyoti al shar bet Hashem ha-kadmuni, ha-poneh kadima, v'nei bepetach ha-shar esrim v'chamisha id, ben Azur and Platya ben Benayahu, who were the Sareya'a. Okay, so here I see in this Nevias, and standing at the entrance of the Mizrach, I saw that there were 25 people, including Platya, and then we have, apparently referring to the same people, even though this second part comes a number of prokim before this first part. So, I mean, we're just making an assumption. So it says over there, Vayaveoti al chatzar beit Hashem apnimit, that I came into the chotzer, meaning the Azora, and there at the petach heichal Hashem. Now, this is not the same as those who were at the shar at the eastern gate, but maybe it's the same group that came in, as the Gemara is assuming. So they brought me in, and I see they're standing at the Pesach to the Heichal. So they're standing between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, obviously, with the Pesach and the Heichal. So that means they are further in than the Mizbeach itself. and there's about 25 people, and they're facing east, and their backs are to the Heichal. So, Achoreihem Heichal Hashem, Ufneihem Kedma, they're facing east, meaning they're facing in the direction of the Mizbeach, and they have their backs towards the Heichal. Now, let me ask you something. Any idiot understands that if they're facing east, then obviously their backs are to the Heichal, right? So, any Yodea Shachoreihem Klapei Ma'arav, I mean, obviously, we can't get your back and your front facing east at the same time. That would be quite a trick. So, what does the Pusuk mean to add? So, Ma'atamut Lomar Achoreihem Aleichal Hashem. It means that they were mooning the Heichal. That's the point. Disgusting. And not only that, that they were mooning the Heichal, they actually defecated towards the Heichal. There's no bigger bizoyan possible. So the Navi here, meaning Yecheskel here, fell on his face and said, this incredible, disgusting, awful person should die a normal death? Misha asahara azot b'Yisrael yamut al mitato. How could we be living in such hester ponim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows a guy like this to just drop dead of a heart attack? Anyway, so now we can figure out which man diyama. You said we don't know. Was it Rav or Shmuel who was saying that Pelatya was l'ra'ah? Now from our sugya, now everything fits in. Why were we bringing this here? Because from our sugya tistayem de Shmuel diyama l'ra'ah. It must have been Shmuel who was saying that he was a Rasha, because the Yom Rebchia Barav and Amashmuel, we just learned that according to Shmuel, Mushkani is considered to be Kagola Leyuchasim, and that it's all Tahar, and Mishan Lo Chashuva. There was no Chashash in the people of Mishan. If you want to marry there, there's no Chashash, not that there may be Avadim, and not that they're Mamzerim. So why is it that there's these rumors about Mishan? And that's because there were Kohanim that lived in Mishan, and apparently in a few cases, they married Grushas, and they weren't makbid on the Kohen not marrying a divorcee. And because of that, the rumors went out that Mishan is a horrible place, and it's full of psula yuchsin, but the truth is it's only psulin of yuchsin legabi the kahuna. But it's a din in chalalut. It's not a din of mamzerut. And it's not a din of avdut. So Taina Shmuel. Now, if Pelatya had saved the people in Bavel by insisting that the governor of Meshan should be supplied with avodim, so then why weren't they chayish for avdus? So apparently he doesn't hold that it was true, that whole story about Pelatya. And therefore, he must hold that Pelatya was not the tzaddik that you claim he was, and indeed it's the same Pelatya that appears in the Nevi'ahs of Yechezkel, of the people who were mooning the Heichal. Says, well, you can't prove it from there. Maybe Shmuel agrees that Pelatya was a tzaddik. Maybe Shmuel agrees that Pelatya had Avadim sent down to Mamushri. But Shmuel is going with Shitasei. Because Shmuel holds that in the event that someone is mafkir avdai, at that point he's automatically yotze lecheiros. Remember, we had this several times before. And eino tzarich get shichrur, which would mean that all of the avodim that were sent down, if assuming that they were, all of the avodim that were sent down there to Mushi are not avodim anymore. He learns that from a pasuk. Because it says in the pasuk, "Kol eved ish miknat kesef." What do you mean? What do you mean, eved ish? I mean, if a woman owns an eved, then it doesn't have a din of avdus. Eved ish, flo eved ish. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. What's the point of eved ish? Ela the pshat is, as long as he can be seen as an eved to a particular individual, meaning that there's an odin that has rishus over him for whom he's working. So an eved sheyesh lo reshut rabo alav, if he's actually indentured to that guy, then he's called an eved. But if, in practical terms, ein l'rabo reshut alav, he's no longer called an eved. Aye, where's the get shichrur? Apparently that itself means it took off the shame of avdus. And therefore, over here, they're no longer avadim. That's why he says that. Meshan, which is where these avadim reached, By the time they got to Meishan, they weren't considered to be Avodim Bichlal. Omer of Yudah Omer Shmuel, this whole discussion that we've been talking about for the past few days, about how it is that Ezra made Bavel Seilas Nikiya, and Eretz Yisrael is considered to be Isar in terms relative to Bavel, Omer of Yudah Omer Shmuel, it's only a Das Yochid. Zu Divrei Rabbi Meir. But the Chachomim say, Kol Aratzot Becheskat Kashrut Emondot. We don't have a problem of a real Chashash on Yichus. And basically, you're allowed to marry a woman from anywhere you want without needing to prove that there's no Chashash of Mamzerus on her. And Amemar actually was Matir Ravuna Bar Nosan to go and to marry a woman from Mechuzah. And even though Mechuzah is in Bavel, it was not in the area above that we defined above, which was not a problem of Yichus. So then why was he allowed to marry there without checking? Omele Ravashi, so Ravashi said to Amema, well, why did you allow Ravuna Bar Nosan to marry into a woman from Mechuzah? My daitech, is it because Rav Yudah Omer Shmuel said, Zudi v'Rabbi Meir? And that therefore we don't have to be chayshish for a das yachid. I mean, it's all very nice that that's what you believe, but I can tell you that there's a lot of very chashuv yeshivas where they did not have that as a reliable maimer. But we know by Rav Kahana and his yeshiva lo masnei achi, and by Rav Papa lo masnei achi, and by Rav Zvid lo masnei achi, none of those yeshivas had this mimer. They did not agree that Shmuel said that Kol HaAratzot are considered to be Ksheres. Amemar was not persuaded. Because Afilo Achilo Kiblo Minei Amemar, he hears that these people didn't have that mimer, but he himself, Amemar, said, listen, I know this. Shem Deshmiel Emi Reb Zvi Denarno. He had heard this directly from the Rebbe Zvid of Nardo, was a big buck in the Zinyanim. And he heard that according to Shmuel, all Mishpachot today are considered to be in a Cheskes Kashrus, and you don't have to worry about it. And therefore, he did not accept Rav Ashi's Taina that the other Rosh Yeshivas did not have this Maimon. Tana Rabbana. Mamzere unetine tehorim latid lavo. As we learned yesterday, there's going to be a time in which Mamzerim and Netinim will be considered to be Tahor. Divrei Rabbi Yosi. Whereas Rabbi Meir Omer, no, there's no such thing. Okay, so now there's big machlokas over here, whether this is the same shita in the sugya that we had earlier, and that means that we're talking about it's Mamzer that was Nitma already, so that people don't know that he's a Mamzer, or whether it actually means that there will be a special Hirashah at the time of Bias HaMashiach, that the Mamzerim up until now are canceled, their Isser, and obviously it doesn't cancel the Din of Mamzeris overall, but these Mamzerim are kosher, okay? I mean, that's the big question. Is that called Hirashah because it only affects these Mamzerim or not? So it's a question whether this is a new halach or whether this is the same thing we said before. So, Amar lo Rabbi Yosi. What is your question? Says Rabbi Yosi. Obviously, it says beferish in the pasuk they're going to be tar. It says v'zorakti alechem mayim tayrim utartem, and we say that pasuk all the time. But when Klal Yisrael comes back, there it's Yisrael. Then Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to sprinkle us with mayim tayrim, and he's going to make us all tar, meaning that there won't be any problem among Mamzeres. Amala Rabbi Meir, I mean, maybe you should read the rest of the pasuk, you know, would always be a good help. The pasuk says, doesn't say I'll be matir you from Mamzeres. It says I'm going to get rid of all of this Aveda Zora and all of these other issues that affect you, and I will be matir you from the impact of those things. Where does it say anything about Mamzeres? Lomina Mamzeres. Says Rabbi Yossi, maybe you should read to the very end of the pasuk. <You know? laughs> I did read the pasuk. Now, how do you explain the end of the pasuk that repeats the words "Atahir Eschem"? It says "Zorakti Alechem Mayim Torim Utartem." So, why does it say again "Atahir Eschem"? Rabbi Meir, the "Atahir Eschem" is a reference to Mamzerus. So, therefore, yes, you're right, and I'm also right. Ave Omer Minam Mamzerut. So Bishlam alo Rabbi Meir, interesting, because according to Rabbi Meir, there's not going to be a tahira mabzeres lasid lava. So that explains why it says the yashav mamzer b'Ashdod. So we're going to get up to, we'll take Ashdod, and Ashdod will be the city for mamzerim, and we'll separate out the mamzerim that, again, machlokas, the known ones or the unknown ones, and they'll all move to Ashdod, and that city will be miuchad for mamzerim. But according to Rabbi Yossi, what is that supposed to mean? There's no new mamzerim that we're going to have to separate out. They should go to a separate city. I mean, we said if nitma, nitma. If not, everybody knows them. So Elo Rabbi Yossi, what's it mean when it says v'yashav mamzer b'Ashdod? Take a look at that targum. Remember, Rabbi Yossi was a tremendous bucky in targum. Look how he's metargum that pasuk. Can a metargum Rabbi Yossi? Yatfun beit Yisrael rochatzan ba'arahon tavodomu balanuchran, that the day will come when Klal Yisrael comes back to Eretz Yisrael, that they will be able to live wherever they want. What used to be Mamzerim, you know, you would try to live in Ashdod with all the Mamzerim in Ashdod. You know, that was a city of Plishtim. And they would throw you out. Now the Mamzerim, meaning the Jews, now they'll take over Ashdod and get rid of all of the Plishtim. That's what it means. There used to be the Nuchra'in. Remember, Mamzer is Mumzar. So it's aliens. So the Jews were the aliens. Now the Jews will be sitting in Ashdod. It's a very graphic description of the returnees. Omer Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Omer Rav Yosef, let me tell you something. If it wouldn't have been that Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel paskins like Rabbi Yossi, God help us. Because, I mean, if Eliyahu HaNavi was going to come and actually identify Mamzerim, oh my God. Mafik minat zavroni, zavroni kolorin, there would be like, who knows how many tens of thousands of people would be sitting there, you know, with their heads in shackles, you know, they're trying to escape and they're being all dragged out to Ashdod, you know, be deported. So they're all going to be, so Baruch Hashem, we don't paskin like that. Okay, Baruch Hashem. All right, so this brings us to B'chlav, the sugi that we talked about before, which really started a lot of these discussions. What is the din about a ger nisim amzeres and the machlokas that we had about that sugya? So now, in light of all of our discussions, tomorrow, Be'ezras Hashem, we will continue and look into those halachas. Meanwhile, since there were those who didn't wait until the Yerushalmi, and they left early, and they didn't hear the bracha to Yisrael, with which we end every single time that we learn together, and I get this email, how come there was no bracha to Yisrael yesterday? So I'm making it very clear. Even if you don't learn Yerushalmi, you should have a bracha for Yisrael. And Be'ezras Hashem will be zechet today to be Re'eh Niflois Hashem Yodai HaGdola in the Mamish Be'enei Kol HaAmim. I put up an amazing, amazing video of a senator in Honduras, which Honduras is not from the great countries. And this senator's mamish, he says, "What you could last week?
Amazing
video. This guy said, what you're comparing silly things like United Nations conventions and agreements between and the geopolitics and so on. You're comparing that to the relationship of Klal Yisrael to the Goyim?" HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is the only Am that is Nifchar, and from it comes all the light of... What kind of nonsense is that? Is there a question? And it says, Avram Avinu Mevarachecha Baruch Emekal Alecha, or you want to be cursed, that you should stand against amazing things. Mamish, you're like a...
real awakening.
It's wow. You know, and then and the Congress claps, and it's like, unbelievable. So anyway, it should be one moment, Rabbi Barnea. We'll talk about your neighborhood in a moment. I think Barnea is upset because he hasn't gone to Honduras yet. So why are we quoting Honduras? But it'll get there. It'll get there. It just takes time. You know. So this is Al Shema Osid. Honduras is called Al Shema Osid also. Osid Rabbi Barnea Lavo Gamla Honduras. That's why it's called Honduras, a place where even there, Doris, he will be living. Mirza Hashem. Actually, I hope you don't have to go to Honduras. But anyway, we should use we should use the lashon of a simple guy who laughs at the idea of comparing things like the United Nations, the bris with Yisrael and Avram Avinu. So it should be the das of all of the goyim to recognize sof kol sof, Avdola ben Yisrael la'amin, the Yodai Hagdela, and the Havtocha of bris Yisrael Avram Avinu, so that we should be zochet or shias hamecha uvareches nachalasecha, u'im v'naseim ad olam.